Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message.
Praise forward.
Hallelujah.
That's what we're talking about. We're praising our way forward in the fullness of his plan. And you've got to, you know, sometimes you got to believe no matter what. I mean, you got to know what you know, and it might seem like you're the only person who knows it, and you got to do it. You got to believe. Well, they're crooked. Yeah, it's crooked. We're just getting it all together up here. I mean, you got to know what you know no matter who says what.
That's so good.
Yeah, you got to know that your Father has given you stability and prosperity. He has made your future secure. No matter what the past year or 2 years or 10 years have been, you are moving forward. This is your time. This is your day. God has chosen you to be in the earth at this time, and you have a divine calling upon your life, and you are moving forward in it. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because he's for you. We're in the midst of a series right now. This is part four. I think we're going to do one more next week. It's called Praise Forward. Highway, we're going forward. That's in our vision statement. We're moving forward. We see a vibrant, growing church where people are moving forward in God's destiny for their lives. And that's what we're all about. We're moving forward in Christ. There's only one direction we go at Highway, and it's forward. We aren't going back. We're not going back. There's nothing back there for us. And I know it's fun to watch a movie where they go back to the past, but you can't do that. Time travel does not exist. It never has, never will. Why? Because once a moment's gone, it's gone forever. Now, God is amazing where he can fix things that were broken 10 years ago. He's I am. He's ever present. He always was, is, ever shall be. But we're not going back. There's nothing back there for us. Listen, 8:04 is gone. 8:15 is gone, right? 9:03 is gone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're going forward. Don't look back. We're going forward. How are we going to go forward? Well, we're going to evaluate Jesus. We're going to appraise Jesus. We're going to set a value on Jesus that's higher than anything in our lives. That's what this series is about, praise forward. Remember our definition of praise? To appraise, to set a value on, mm-hmm. Praise forward. We move forward when we place the highest value of all on Jesus Christ, on knowing him. That is what enables us to move forward. And if we feel like we're stuck, I want to challenge you to appraise him higher, to set a higher value on Christ. Set a higher value on him. If it seems like things aren't working or you're discouraged about this, you're trying to figure that out, start to set your value on Christ higher. Raise your appraisal of him. He's greater than what's troubling you. He's greater than the issues you can't figure out or the things that seem out of reach. He is your Father, and he's moving in your life. Begin to appraise him as the Most High God. Okay. I need a God who's above everything.
Well, that's what he is. He's the Most High.
He's the Most High.
God.
Yeah.
And there's no one higher, no one greater. Anyone who collects anything informs themselves, you know, if they're a collector or investor, they study, they inform themselves. And when they're out in the marketplace, they buy what another person will walk right by because they didn't know or study what the value of that. But that collector or that investor knows the value and adds that to his life.
So good.
You know, and
love
it's
that.
The same with God. It's true. There's no one more valuable. There's no one higher. There's no one greater. And so rather than passing him by and missing who he is, we're picking him up. We recognize the value in God, that he's the greatest. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's my maker. Mm. He is ever living and interceding, the Bible says, on our behalf. He's the Most High. And so we are adding, and I say adding that as in the sense of an investor, but he is Lord over our lives.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I say I'm adding him, but it does take our appraising. Absolutely. And that's what you're talking about. We have to have knowledge of who he is, knowledge of what he wants to bring to our lives. And then by faith, we take that to our own lives. We take that to our experience is making Jesus Lord of our lives.
Hallelujah. So you understand when you say he's the Most High God of your life, that has everything to do with the situations you're dealing with. It has everything to do with the details of your life. If something is troubling, if you can't figure out this, or this, things don't seem to be that, or whatever it might be, he's the Most High. In other words, he's working. He's moving. I don't have to be concerned about that because he's higher than that, and he's for me, and he's above all, and he's got you.
Yeah.
That's the appraisal you want to have, and that's the appraisal that's going to keep you moving forward. Because friends, Highway family, listen, things aren't going to always look like you want them to look in your life. Hello, right? That doesn't even happen in the movies. Right?
Probably multiple times a day you might be confronted with something that looks opposite of what should be happening in your life.
And if you don't keep appraising him as above it all, and knowing he's for you and he's working it out, you're going to allow what's not happening or what's happening to influence you and maybe change your course or slow you down or cause you to draw back from what he's called you to do and spoken to you. Don't you let that happen. Don't you let that happen. He's above it all, and he's for you, and he's on it. He's got you. I want to go right to Romans 4. I like Romans 4. I like the whole book of Romans. Those Romans, they know how to write the Bible. I'll tell you.
Well, they didn't write the Bible. Paul wrote
it. It says Romans, the top.
It's to the Romans.
Oh, okay. So it's a letter from the Apostle Paul to the Roma. To the Roma, yes. Bella Roma. Okay, Romans 4:17. My phone holder is squeaky. Can you guys hear that?
No, we can't.
Okay, all right. It's just kind of squeaky. I need some WD-40 on this.
That's
thing.
Enough.
As it is written, let's look at this. Now, talk about appraising God. How powerful is God? I mean, can he handle your groceries? Can he handle the bills that just came in? Can he handle your fixed expenses? What about your mortgage and your taxes, your insurance? What about the plans you have to accomplish these things, to start a business, to do the things that God's put in your heart to do? Can he handle that? Well, let's look. Let's appraise him.
Just want to jump in. Right?
Go ahead.
Before
jump
you
in.
Said Romans, I was just thinking the same thing. If we look through the Bible, think of all the things that God dealt with. He dealt with children. He dealt with, in other words, his hand was in. There were
full
promises to be a full spectrum. Lands, houses. Victory over enemies, food provision, clothing provision, like all of this God deals in. So, you know, we can find this in throughout all the Bible, many instances that there's nothing that he's not involved in. Life and death he's involved in. Yeah. He's involved in every aspect of your life. His lordship touches every aspect of our lives. Yeah.
Well, praising him gives him that opportunity.
That's right.
To work with us, to work together with us. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 4, we're praising God. Listen, this is the one who's working things out for you. This is how powerful he is. As it is written, the father of many nations have I made you. Now, God the Father said that to Abram, who became Abraham, and he said that to him before he had any children. In the sight of him whom Abraham believed, even God, what's the nature of this, the one who made us, of the one who's given us stability and prosperity? He's the one who gives life to the dead. Come on. He gives life to the dead. He raises the dead. He calls into being that which does not exist. Wow. I mean, hey, there it is. What else do you need? Raises the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. If you need it, you got it, because he does these things. This, when God reveals his nature in his word, why does he reveal it? Because he wants you to experience it in your life. That's why he reveals his nature, so that we'll know him and trust him and experience who he is. Hallelujah. So this is what he does. Now, so we're reminding ourselves of the nature of God when we worship him. Mm-hmm. You're the one who gives life to the dead. You're the one who makes the lame walk, the maimed whole, the blind see, the deaf hear, the poor rich. And you're the one that calls into being whatever is needed at that moment.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. That's what praise is. It's reminding ourselves and making declaration of who God is in our lives.
Yeah. And you're going to need to know this. You know, obviously, during our worship time and Bible studies and the things we do, it's important to hear what you're hearing. But you're going to need to know this tomorrow morning. You're going to need to know this when there's no cameras, there's no guitars, no keyboards, no preachers, because you're the preacher that you're going to need to listen to, and you're going to have to preach to yourself the reality of who he is.
I just want to stay here because this is so important. A lot of us think that worship or praise is like saying words like hallelujah, glory, you know,
right.
We magnify, and yes, that is those are all praise words.
You're going somewhere now.
Those are all praise words. But what you're saying here is we should declare who God is and say and decree over our lives that he has authority in these areas because of what the Bible says who he is. So really, this is a nice reminder, or maybe even a teaching point. You've never done it before, but one of the most powerful ways of praising is just declaring who God is, declaring who he is. Say not just remind yourself, but anybody in your hearing, anything in your hearing, every circumstance in your hearing, the qualities and natures of God that would impact that situation.
It has everything to do with what you're facing right now.
That's right.
Everything. It is as relevant can be. When you're worshiping him, you're doing it because his nature, his character, his provision is manifest, showing up in your life, and you're praising him for it.
Hallelujah.
Whether you can see it or detect it with your senses now or not. And I love that. And remember, when you're reading the Bible, don't turn it into a religious book. It's never been that. People have tried to turn it into that. But it is a revelation of Christ. It's a revelation of the love that God has for you and of his nature and his will for your life.
Yes.
And understand, we're talking about Abraham. We're not talking about some old, irrelevant guy. We're talking about you. Peoples as peoples.
Peoples.
You remember that? Peoples is peoples. Watch the Muppets Take Manhattan. You understand what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And Abraham was a peoples just like you. And it says in verse 20, it says, no unbelief or distrust made him waver. Have you guys ever met unbelief or distrust? Yeah, have they ever come to your door? Hello, this is people stuff. This is real life stuff that we all face.
That's true.
Nothing made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, for he grew strong. So Abraham wasn't a superhero until he met God. And how did he grow strong? He grew strong, which means he wasn't strong. He was weak.
Right.
He became strong and was empowered by faith. How? As he appraised God as the Most High God, as he gave praise and glory to the one who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Therefore, Abraham was fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. And I encourage you to grab a hold of verse 17, verse 20 and 21 in the Amplified. Man, verse 17 is in the New American Standard, verse 20, 21, the Amplified. And meditate on that. That's you. That's your life now. All of us have things in our life that God wants to do that are impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And if your dream is something you think you can do by yourself, then you haven't gotten the divine inspiration yet, because it is beyond what you can do. It is beyond, because God, it's always been about walking with God.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Working with God.
That's right.
Your life was meant to be in fellowship and relationship with God.
You know, when Peter was walking on the water, it was in steps. You know, what I'm saying here is, if you just wait for everything just to plop into your lap, you know, then that's not good, because you're in a waiting. But there's a walking that you can do. There's a walking that you can do. A supernatural walking that you're like, well, I'm not there yet, but I'm supernaturally stepping. I'm supernaturally being guided and directed and praising God. You know, it was Peter, we remind ourselves there in that situation, he's looking at Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's appraising Jesus. The minute he stopped, then he had difficulty. But it's walking. Mm-hmm. It is walking. Mm-hmm. It is taking steps. And all of a sudden you realize, whoa, we're not sinking. We're overcoming in the situation. So
That's so good.
Take the steps. And step number one is appraising him for sure. Recognizing that he's able in the situation.
Have you ever thought of Peter stepping out of the boat in the Winter Warlock in the Rudolph Christmas special?
No, I never have.
You guys ever seen Rudolph? that's Santa Claus.
It's comes to town. Yeah.
And there's the Winter Warlock.
Yeah.
And he one gets step. Changed from evil to good. You ever see that? And he sings a song. Just put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, okay, we know that.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay. I'm thinking of Peter.
Okay.
Peter appraised Christ. He said, is that you, Lord? If it's you, tell me to come.
Right.
I'm appraising. If it's you, I can walk on water.
Sure, yeah.
You see how that works?
That's exactly right.
If you're God, then I'm healed.
Then here I go.
If you're God, I'm healed.
Right, yes.
You see that?
Yes.
If you're God, I am healed.
If you are, I am. Mm-hmm.
If you are God, I am prosperous.
It's good.
You see that connection? If that's you, Lord, tell me to come. Because if it's you, I can walk on this water in the midst of this storm. Hallelujah.
That's good.
That's appraising him.
That's what he did.
Yeah. Because you are God, I am free. Because you are God, I am strong. Because you are God, I am righteous. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because you are God, I have perfect peace, untroubled, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. undisturbed well-being. Oh, hallelujah. I want to get into a few things here that are just going to absolutely fill you with strength and joy. I want to go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And if you didn't listen to part 3, please do yourself a huge favor. Invest in yourself. Listen to part 3. Hey, again, if you already heard it, it's so good. Last Sunday.
September 17th.
Man, oh man.
Looking for that.
There's some power pills in that message. You're just going to want to grab a hold of what the Holy Spirit was revealing to us last Sunday. But we talked about some of them, they're more than we could ever talk about, some of the benefits of praise, that it changes your brain.
Yeah.
Woo, I love that.
For sure.
It does. It rebuilds your brain.
I don't believe it.
And we looked at that last Sunday, and you can go back and listen to that. I want to look at another effect of praise. It shuts the mouth of your enemies.
Glory to God.
Matthew 21. Are you ready? So we're just going to kind of get to the meat of this. But in verses 1 through 7, Jesus sends two of his disciples ahead of him. And he tells them to go into a village, that they're going to find a donkey there with her colt, and to loose that colt and bring it and loose them. And Jesus needs them. And they go and they find it just as Jesus said. And this was done in verse 4 to fulfill a prophecy from I'm trying to remember. Is that from Isaiah? That he will, verse 5, for the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the prophecy is fulfilled and Jesus fulfilled them all. Verse 6, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. I'm going faster as I want to get somewhere. They brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their clothes on them and set them on them. Okay, verse 8. So here comes Jesus. This is what's called the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is before his crucifixion. He's fulfilling prophecy, and now he's coming into the city of David. Huge moment here. And the Spirit of God is moving upon people. And I like to try and put myself in there. A great multitude, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. All right? See this. They begin spreading their garments before Jesus in the way, in the road there. And the others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them along the way. Are you seeing this? Here comes Jesus. Here comes the Messiah. Here comes the fulfillment of prophecy, sitting on a donkey. And there are thousands and thousands of people taking off their garments and making a way for him. Powerful. And no one told them to do this. Just let the Holy Spirit go before you. You won't have to explain yourself to anybody. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, so they're shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David. No one gave them a script for this. What's happening here? Their eyes are being opened by the Holy Spirit to who he is. And they're responding by laying their stuff before him. Oh, man, I could go off on this. I'm going to keep reading. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. That means God saves now. In the highest. Mm-hmm. There's your appraisal. Higher than all, most high. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. The whole city. Some were praising and some were saying, who is this? Right, their eyes weren't, they had a hard heart. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, duh. And this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them, all the crooks, all those that were conducting illegal transactions. And he overthrows the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. He just throws them out. He makes a scene. You seeing this? Put yourself there. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house, the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame. So he gets the crooked behavior. He gets the immoral, all the stuff that's going out. That shouldn't be going on in the temple. He gets it out of there, and now the stuff that should be going on in his house comes in. The blind, the lame came to his temple, and he healed them.
Hallelujah.
Put yourself right there. Blind people can't see. Lame, they can't walk. They could have been missing limbs. They could have been deformed. Who knows why they couldn't walk, but he healed them regardless of what it was that came against them. And he'll do the same for you. He's done the same for you through his finished work. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, so even the hard-hearted people.
That's right.
They saw the wonderful things he did, but their heart was hard, and instead of strengthening them and transforming them, it made them mad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, Father, help us. Mm-hmm. We give you our hearts. Mm-hmm. Help our hearts to let our hearts be soft and pliable before you. The wonderful things that he said, and the children crying in the temple. The children are shouting out, children, we're talking about kiddos, little ones. Hosanna to the Son of David. Put yourself right there. Are you seeing this? Thousands of people. Tables flipped over, crooks kicked out, lame healed, blind seeing, children running around. Hosanna to the Son of David. I can imagine this would upset a lot of religious folks.
Well, this was so cool.
He just messed up their proceedings.
It's so cool about this passage. You're seeing every element. You're seeing people who don't even know him. You're seeing people who do know him and are praising him.
Yeah.
You see children who, if they don't know him, at the very least, they're imitating, which is a good thing. They're imitating those who do know him.
They just saw thousands of people shouting this, right?
And they jumped right. And then there's
thousands
those
of people
who know who he is and refuse to worship. So you got every element in this little passage. And I'm liking that because that's not any different than today. Those who don't know him, those who do and praise him, those who do and don't praise him, and those who are just learning how to praise him, which are the children.
Come on.
And so you got all of these things going on in here. I love it.
Come on. Baby boomers, Gen X. What generation are we?
X.
Are we X?
Yeah.
Gen Y, Gen Z, millennials. Come on. How are people gonna learn to praise him if we don't do it?
That's right.
Come on, we've gone before those that are younger than us.
So good.
We've got Hosanna, the Son of
Hallelujah.
David. What? And those little ones are going to see, and they say, wait a minute, he's doing wonderful things. I don't have to be afraid of anything.
That's right. He's doing
wonderful things. I want to know this Hosanna. So I want to know this rider of the donkey. Come
so
on.
Good. So good.
Hallelujah. So Jesus said to them,
15.
Oh, they said unto him, let's go to verse 16. So okay. The children are crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the hard-hearted, the religious people are displeased. Can you imagine?
Say sore displeased. Oof.
They were sore. S-O-R-E displeased.
That's
Thank
pretty
you.
Bad.
Mm. I mean, they weren't just a little put off. They were.
Sore displeased.
Yeah. Yeah.
King James. That's right.
I love it.
Not happy.
And so they're sore displeased. Now they're going to let Jesus have it. Are you ready? They're going to try and put a rain on his parade, right? Do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus said unto them, yes. Everyone hears it. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise.
Hallelujah.
The NIV says, you have ordained praise. The Message translation says, I'll furnish a place of praise. The New Living Translation says, you have taught children and infants to give you praise.
Yes.
Jesus taught in his ministry the value of children. They loved him. They came to him. They ran on him. They jumped on his lap, and his disciples didn't like it. And he rebuked his disciples. He said, let the children come to me. Why? Because the kingdom of God belongs to the children. And I tell you what, when you get a heart after God, you have a heart after children.
Yes, you do.
I was doing my laps at the Y the other day, and it was family day on one side of the pool, and a bunch of kids in there. I walked in the locker room. There's these two little guys with their 101 Dalmatian floaties on their arms, you know. And, you know, my heart just goes out to these little people, you know. Why? Because the kingdom of God belongs to them. And I'm telling you what, if you'll put a child in the atmosphere of praise, they will respond. Their hearts are alive to God. They're sensitive to the things of God. But they need the generations that gone before them to give them that atmosphere.
Yes, right. That's right.
Hallelujah. You have taught children and infants to praise your name.
Yes.
You ready for the Passion Translation? You have fashioned the lips of children, fashioned your lips and little ones to compose your praise.
That's right. That's right.
Do you know that's what your mouth is for? Come on. No joke here. Forget religion. Your mouth was made to know him, to speak of his wonder and glory, to dialogue with the maker of heaven and earth, to praise him, to upraise him. That's what your mouth is for. That's what's for your lips, your teeth, your gum, your tongue, your vocal cords. That's what it's all for.
Hallelujah.
Now we see why cursing is so detrimental to our destiny.
Yeah.
Because our mouth wasn't made for that.
No.
Right? You can't put anything other than unleaded gas in our car.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, you're going to have trouble. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get where you need to go. Because it was made to run on this stuff. Mm-hmm. You're made to run on praise.
So good.
That's why your mouth is at the top of you, in the center of you, and louder than any other part of you. Your ears can't speak. Your eyes can't speak. Your nose can't speak. Your fingers can't speak. It's your mouth that speaks. Open your mouth and appraise him in your life. Now, what was Jesus quoting here in Matthew 16? Well, you know, Jesus studied the scriptures diligently as a child. Historians tell us that they were required to memorize the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Well, he's quoting the book of Psalms. He's quoting Psalms 8, verse 2. And let me read you Psalm 8, verse 2. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies. Isn't it like God to move in the earth through childlike hearts? And foil the plans of the enemy. Do you have a childlike heart? We have the privilege of having a new little granddaughter. We call her Chi-Chi Bean. And she's going to be 1 year old here in just a few days. And I'll tell you what. The heart of a child is something special.
It is.
When you walk in the room, she'll just look at you. And her eyes say it all. And she does this little thing. She'll point. She'll go,
she goes.
In other words, what does that mean? We're always looking at the Father.
We are.
We're pointing to Him.
That's good.
My Father's the Most High.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's the one who made me, and He's
mm-hmm,
got me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's above it all.
Mm-hmm.
And He's given me stability and prosperity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's made my future secure.
Mm-hmm.
We're His little chichi beans.
Yes, we are.
Come on.
It's just so beautiful.
Because of your enemies. So God's aware you have enemies. And listen, they're not people. Let me make that plain.
That's good.
Who are your enemies? Spirits of darkness.
That's good.
That are influencing people, but people aren't the problem. There are spirits of darkness who've been given assignments by the head of darkness, Satan, to discourage you, to hinder you, to keep you from going forward. God knows this. So what has He done? He's put praise in your mouth. He's given you the weapon you need to silence your enemies, and it's right here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger or the revengeful one. The Message says that drowns out enemy talk.
That's good.
So understand, Jesus referred to His disciples as little ones. Jesus referred to the people as that follow Him as little ones.
Yes.
So I was talking about just children, you know,
mm-hmm.
2, 3, 4, 5. But I'm talking about us. We're little ones.
Unless you become
like
a child.
Like child, yeah, you won't experience the kingdom
of
God.
Kingdom
we
of
need
God.
To become like children. Children aren't worried about paying bills.
No, they aren't.
Children aren't worried about where they're going to live. It's a given.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They wake up, it's all there.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 6?
Mm-hmm.
Just wake up, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Now, are you ready for the Passion Translation? The praise, God has ordained praise for your mouth, and that praise is the power to shut Satan's mouth.
Mm.
Let me say that one more time. God has ordained your mouth to be filled with His praise. And that praise in your mouth is the power to shut Satan's mouth. I can shut Satan's mouth.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
You're a bad mamma jamma.
Bad mamma.
Come
mamma.
On.
Yes, you are.
You can shut His mouth. How? God, you're so good.
Hallelujah.
You are moving
glory
in my
God.
Life. And
yes.
You are accomplishing the things that concern me. And You are working it all out. Because You are my God, I'm healed. Because You are my God, I'm moving forward. Because You are my God, I am rich. Because You are my God, I am free. Because You are my God, I am strong. Because You are my God, I'm in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the things You've called me to do. Because You're my Father. Man, if that don't shut the that will silence.
Mm-hmm.
What do people talk about? Clamoring voices.
That's right.
It's praise that silences the clamoring voices of your enemies,
mm-hmm,
spirits
mm-hmm.
of darkness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hallelujah! When do these clamoring voices come?
Hmm.
Well, could be any time. Could be any time, right? Could be in the middle of your workday. You know, mm-hmm. Tuesday at 12:05, you just had your lunch break, and all of a sudden, a thought pops into your head. How's this going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I wish things weren't this way, and oh, man, I want this. What is that? That's a whispering. That's a tempting to get you to take your eyes. Remember this? Remember little Chi-Chi
mm-hmm,
Bean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To take your eyes off of the Father, to stop pointing to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time a clamoring voice comes in your life, you say, how's that going to happen? Just go. See, our praise points to the Father.
Yes, it does.
Praise is a spiritual powerhouse. And not only does it fix your brain and transform your emotions and your soul, but it shuts the mouth of those negative voices that are trying to discourage you. It will silence fear in your life. And let me help you. It's not like I say, oh, thank you, Jesus, and all the voices are silent. I've got to enter in with my heart. I've got to say, wait a minute. Sometimes you've got to pull aside, and you just got to be the only one in the room. Find a private place, and you just got to focus your heart And there have been several times in prayer, you know, my phone's close by, and God says, just put that phone down, mm-hmm. turn it over. I don't want you to look at it. Mm-hmm. I want you to focus on who I am. And I'll say, okay.
Your wife says that too.
Yes, you do. Right. Yeah. But so, listen, table, you gotta put the phone down. Put the stuff of the day. Get away with the one who made you.
Yeah.
Come on, you're his chichi bean. You're his little one. you're the apple of his eye. You're the one he loves. But get alone with him. Why are you getting alone with him? For your benefit. Because sometimes we get so distracted, or we give in to the demands of the day or the clamoring voices, and by the end of the day, we're distraught. Or we're afraid, or we're wondering how things are going to work out. No. That's not how we live. We live by praise. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We live by expressing the reality of who he is in our lives. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm doing the best I can to get this out. We express him. That's how we live. We express the nature of the Father with our mouth. Yeah, that's what we do. That's my little Chi-Chi right there in the studio. Love it. Hallelujah. Yes, that's what we do. We express the nature of God with our lives. When do we do that?
All the time.
Sunday during service.
All the time.
All the time. Listen, this is not a religious practice. This is not something we're doing to try and achieve a certain level of spirituality. This is not something we're doing to try and please God or get on his good side. This is something we're doing because of who he is.
Yeah.
You're on his good side. He's pleased with you. We're trusting in him. We're making ourselves trust him.
Hallelujah.
Did you know you can do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
You can make yourself trust him?
Yes. Go on.
You can make, and I'm telling you, I just can't. The times of my life, I literally just felt like trusting him was the furthest thing from me. Like, I just didn't feel like I was trusting him. I didn't look like I was trusting him. But the Holy Spirit quickened me, and he got my attention. And I said, okay, I'm going to make myself wake up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to make myself do what I know to do.
That's
I'm going to praise him.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
And I'm telling you, there are times, listen, there may be times where you've got to set aside time and forget about how long it's going to be. Just praise him until the peace of Christ rises up inside of you and you know you've got it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Don't time it with a stopwatch. Forget about time. Time can be a real liar. Mm-hmm. It can be a real fool. The click of the clock doesn't mean a thing to the child of God. Why? Because you're walking with him, and he can do more in a moment than you can do in 100 years. Just trust him. Oh, wow.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That's good. And then, when you get into this, this is how we live. This is what you say. This is how we live. This is how we operate. I think of two instances where the mouth of an individual was closed. Jesus with Peter,
Yep.
Peter said something in opposition to the will of God concerning the life of Jesus, and Jesus, recognized it immediately, right, and shut it down.
Right.
And then the other time was Paul was out ministering,
that's so good.
There was a girl with a spirit of fortune telling, who was going around and bothering the ministry of Paul, disrupting it. And it was for a while. And then it was almost like Paul just went, okay, that's it.
That's it.
That's enough.
He had enough.
And then he turned around. And so when we say that your enemies are not people, sometimes there are occasions when a person must be addressed because of the spirit with which they are cooperating. And so we address someone, it's almost like Jesus didn't speak to Peter. It's like he spoke through to the spirit that was operating through Peter. And same thing with this girl. So there are times when you, after prayer, we walk like this. When you're in prayer and you're praising God on the you recognize when there's something disrupting that.
Yes.
And it's good in that time to address that. So I do want that to be said too, that sometimes it looks like you're talking to a person. But Paul was not talking to that girl, and Jesus wasn't talking to Peter. Yeah. They were talking to the spirit, which was operating through
people. That's right.
And sometimes you have to address that.
So next time someone says something negative, you say Satan. Now listen, here, this is real stuff now. So what was happening? Jesus was called to be our lamb, our sacrifice.
Yes.
And Peter's saying, no, you're not going to do that.
No, don't do that.
What he's doing, he's getting in the way. Now, Jesus knew the plan of God. Peter didn't.
Right.
So what's he doing? Rebuking Satan. So listen, if someone says something to me that is contrary to God's plan for my life, I'm not going to look at that person and say, Satan, get behind me. I'm not going to do that unless the Lord really leads me, but I'm just kind of funning with you. But what I will do is I'll speak something. I'll say, Jesus is so good. Jesus is Lord of my
life.
Jesus, God is working it out. God is moving on my behalf. God's mm-hmm. will is done in my life just as it is in heaven. I'll say something. I'll direct it some way to Christ. I don't know what I'd say, but I'm just saying we're talking about recognizing, listen, spirits influence people to say things.
Yeah.
That's just, you might as well learn that now.
That's good.
Spirits influence people to see things. Just like the Holy Spirit wants to influence you
to say
who Christ is in your life, there are spirits of darkness that want you to complain, that want you to be afraid, that want you to be doubt, mm-hmm. to be all wrapped up in stuff and in bondage and trapped. Mm-hmm. And so there are spirits that will influence people to say things. So you become sensitive
as you cultivate
mm-hmm. praising him. Mm-hmm. It makes you sensitive mm-hmm. to the things of God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, this is so good. Glory to God. We're going to keep moving here. Hallelujah. God is so good. This is priceless what we're talking about. I'm telling you, forget religion. Just forget about it. Put it out of your mind. I'm talking about living life knowing God. Living life experiencing the love and power of Christ in your everyday life. This is the secret sauce. Mm-hmm. Praise. Opening your mouth and expressing who he is with your heart and with your mouth. That's the stuff. You know, I was thinking this week. It's Hebrews chapter 7. We've gone there at some point in the past few weeks. It talks about Melchizedek appearing to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, appearing to Abraham, which we know is Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hebrews shows
explains
that. Explains
mm-hmm,
that. Mm-hmm. And it says that Jesus actually receives our tithes as worship.
Yes.
You know, you can't praise him without tithing.
That's good.
I just want to be real with you. I mean, if we're going to experience the love and power of Christ, it's got to impact every area of our lives. It's got to be real in our money. It's impossible to consistently praise Christ and not tithe unto him. It has nothing to do with the law.
Right.
I know the law taught it, but it was before the law and it was after the law as well. What is it? It's expressing his nature as my provider.
That's right.
In a tangible way.
That's right.
And what I was going to say about Hebrews, now in the law, of course, Abraham was 430 years before the law mm-hmm. when God called him. Mm-hmm. But in the law, it was the tithes were brought to the tribe of Levi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes.
Not so with Melchizedek. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He wasn't from the tribe. Not so with Jesus. Mm-hmm. What tribe was he from?
Judah.
What is the tribe of Judah? The tribe of
praise. Praise, praise, praise.
Praise and giving go together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It would be wrong of me to not encourage you and give you opportunities to give every time
we gather.
That's
exactly right. That's exactly right.
Because this is part of praise.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about any of this when I came to know mm-hmm, Christ. Mm-hmm. I was just so grateful. I'd bring the money I made into the church I went to. Mm-hmm. This is back in 1989. No one told me a thing. I was just living this. I was just expressing my love for him. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I just got paid this. I would just bring I just worship God with it. Mm-hmm. No one told me you had to do it. We don't have to do it.
Mm-mm.
It has nothing to do with anything we have to know.
Right, no.
And this, I want you to get you to a place where there's no rules. Did he just say that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No rules. Where love is governing your behavior.
That's the rule. Love is the rule.
Love governs your behavior.
Yeah.
And listen to me. I'm just going to be straight with you here. Over my walk with the Lord in past 30-some years, I've never met people who were consistently victorious in their walk with Christ that did not tithe. Never met them. Mm-hmm. Everyone, and I know a lot of people that I've met over the past 30-some years that were in Christ, victorious in Christ, they were tithers. And we would talk about it.
And beyond, yes. Oh, yes.
We'd talk about tithing. We'd talk about giving to the Lord.
Absolutely.
It was like an exciting thing.
Yes,
I mean, I'm not talking about it in church. I mean, we'd be sitting having coffee or just hanging out. We said, God is so good. You know, I just sowed this and did this. And that's how you talk.
And you tell the story.
When you were praising Him.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So listen, this is a part of worshiping Him. And I want you to see that praise and money go together. Praise Him, worship Him with your money. It's so good. And it's God's desire that every single believer would be plugged in to a fivefold ministry.
Yes.
To a church where there is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and a fivefold ministry leading that group of believers. That's what Highway Church is. Mm-hmm. So we've got two fivefold ministry gifts here and more, I'm sure, that are gonna then come forward. Mm-hmm. And God called us to lead this work. And so what do? I always endeavored, I've got to find a group of believers. I didn't care where they met. I didn't care if it was in a house, in a department store, on a campus. I didn't care. I was looking for that word, that revelation of Christ to come forward from a person. I knew that was important, and now I know from the scriptures. I didn't know that. I just knew I had to have that. You've got to have that. That's God's ideal, to provide you a group of believers where there's a fivefold ministry gift, at least one, giving you revelation of Christ. And what do? You sow into that. And you can't just be loose with your money. You have to have purpose with your money. So don't just give to anyone or anything. Give to the Word. Give to the revelation of Christ. Bring your tithe into the revelation of Christ. And I guarantee you, if you're not already a part of Highway or wherever you're at or wherever church you go to, God has called you to a place where you can get the revelation of Christ. We make that available to you. And if you prayerfully consider being a part of Highway, however the Lord leads you. But if this is the place, you're knowing, okay, God, you brought me here to learn about you, who you are and what you've done and who you are, who I am in you, then begin worshiping Him with your money through Highway. It's gotta, your destiny is real. It's not loose and out there somewhere. And when you begin to specifically sow your seed into a specific church, into specific ministries for specific reasons, you'll reap a harvest that is specific to your destiny. So we want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. And you may be a part of Highway Church, and maybe you've been listening a long time, but you haven't really taken a step to begin sowing consistently. We encourage you to take that step. I mean, just go ahead and run after Jesus. Step out of the boat and say, here I go, Jesus. If it's you, Jesus, I'm going to worship you with my money. And you may be attending another church, and Highway Church may be an auxiliary ministry in your life, and we invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us in the work that we're doing in helping people to experience the love and power of Christ in their daily lives. And you can do that through our website. The giving information is on our screen, highwaychurch.us, highwaychurch.us/give. And you can give in a variety of ways, and it's all there for you on our giving page. And I also want to let you know, once a month, we do a Zoom meeting. And this meeting, myself, Jennifer, and it's open to the folks of Highway. But if you want to be a part, we're going to try and get a little bit more. We're looking at doing maybe the first Monday of the month. But if you'd like to be a part of this Zoom meeting, what do? We just talk to one another and encourage one another in Christ. That's what we do. We talk about who we are in Christ. And we pray for one another. We encourage one another. And we do that once a month via Zoom. If you'd like to be a part of that Zoom get-together, go to our website, highwaychurch.us, and just hit, go to contact us, highwaychurch.us contact. And in the message, just put Zoom. Okay, just put Zoom in the subject. And that'll let us know that you want to be a part of that meeting, okay? And, of course, you'll give us your name, your email, and we'll get a hold of you. But after these Zoom meetings, I'm just like, wow, that was so good.
It's so edifying. It's so building.
And it really makes a difference in your month.
Yes, it does.
It really makes a difference. So that's open to you and available. I want you to know that.
Yeah, connecting with people.
So if you'd like to be a part, go to highwaychurch.us, go to our contact page, and in the subject of your message, put Zoom, Z-O-O-M, and we'll know that that's what you want to be a part of, all right? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Let's do this. Let's go all the way with Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're absolutely refuse to quit. So let's pray right now. Father, we come before you. Jesus, we worship you with our tithes and our offerings. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you are God, and you have saved us. Mm-hmm. And you give us stability and prosperity. You make our future secure. And we love you and worship you with 10% of our revenue and more. Be glorified in our lives, Father. It's in your mighty Son's name that we give. Amen. God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of His goodness, who He is, what He's done for you, and who you are in Him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life He came to give you.